Dude, that was an amazing celebration.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to learn how to play that on trumpet?
I mean, it was a serious effort. I've never picked up a trumpet before, but, you know, I was able to get the embouchure.
Mm.
That was around 2 o'clock this afternoon where I figured out the embouchure thing.
Good.
And then some octave jumps in there. It's a little, little tricky.
You did a heck of a job, man. Yeah, and that was straight bugle. Straight bugle.
Yeah, it's one of those that doesn't have the... like the keys on it, it's just
there's no keys.
The pipe.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
it's all lips.
You know me, yeah,
all
just
lips.
Straight pipe.
Yep,
that's so for the semi quincentennial,
no tips.
Semi quincentennial, you learned bugle.
I did.
Wow,
I do. And yeah, so that's what I have prepared for 250, guys.
What that was amazing.
Wow,
that was amazing.
Man,
I also learned how to play the party blower.
Yes, that was also very
good.
It's also a trick, but...
how long do you think it would actually take to learn how to play that bugle part?
Well, it took me 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, good, okay.
Max.
Yeah. I think...
But no, like in the real world, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Like just starting from zero, if you had to, like how long?
And it's all lips, right?
All lips, baby.
With the bugle.
Have you ever attempted to play the trumpet, Greg?
I have attempted to play the trumpet, but the one that I actually spent time with, funny enough, was the baritone. So
really,
yeah, like that, which is like a smaller tuba.
Yeah.
Ah.
So
no. The flugelhorn's the one.
Yeah, that's like the Chuck Mangione.
Same range, but with yeah. Okay, sorry. I know what you're talking about. The baritone.
Yeah, the baritone is like a bigger, a smaller tuba. And the whole point was because when I was in middle school band, and I was playing flute.
Classic.
There was a bunch of us in the flute section. Of course, I was the only boy. But
good being a flute. Good being a flautist.
That's
yeah.
right. I was always second chair. There was this girl, Louise Lee, who had private lessons.
Sure.
And she was definitely the best. But all these other girls were trying to take second seat away from me, and they would always challenge me. And that meant that like the two of us would sit with our flutes in front of the conductor of the band, of the orchestra, and he would like test us, and I was I was smoking these girls every week. That I'd have to go in early.
Are you saying at your school that you could like throw down gauntlets to like other players to like challenge for their seat?
This is common, right?
It's how you would advance in the how you would get from
the
chair order. Yeah, the chair order. Yeah, and I was always second.
That's amazing.
And I think I tried to take out Louise Lee once or twice, and I couldn't do it because she had like vibrato going on. Again, she was getting private lessons. I wasn't. I was just like reading the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And playing.
Nevertheless, fantastic breath control.
Yes.
Louise. Yeah.
She was
renowned.
Renowned.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to have something to aim for.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed that you guys had like this battle royale system in your school. Like for us, it was just like the teacher listened to you in lessons and assigned you. Like, I guess there was like a tryout process for it where you had to learn a piece and do your scales and stuff like that. But then you just got assigned a seat and that was it. Like, you couldn't challenge anybody. That's great.
Oh, yeah. This one girl kept trying to get me and she just could never, you know. I think
you're like you again.
Yeah, the conductor. It was always like I had to take time out of my day to do this. I was like, oh,
sure.
She really thinks she's gonna. All right, sure, whatever.
You want a piece of me again?
Yeah, you want
a piece of me again? Yeah. This is how Mario Kart works too. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's in first, they're left completely alone. But second place, always getting sniped.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always getting sniped. Thing. Yeah.
You got to watch out
for
the blue shell though. The big blue shell.
It'd save your horn.
The great equalizer. But listen.
Yeah.
So I was in this flute section in the middle school orchestra, and then the conductor said, "Hey, does anybody here want to play baritone? Because we sort of need that for this piece." And I just was so tired of playing flute. Yeah. So remember, this is like a tuba. This is like a big brass instrument that you got to like hold with your whole body.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, sure," because I wasn't gonna get one. The school had one, so I would come in at like I would spend like the morning activity period, MAP. I would go into the band room and pick up this baritone and be like, bum, 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 you know, and it's not the same thing as the trumpet, but it does have that metal that mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Which is similar, and it's very strange when you put your lips on that thing and you gotta you gotta try to get the thing to vibrate the right way. But I did. I managed to do it, and it was a good experience. And then shortly thereafter, I got an acoustic guitar, and the rest is history.
Rest is history.
then I was like, all right, this is it. This is.
Never mind. Never mind.
No more flute or baritone.
But to go back to your original question, like how long that would take to learn that piece, like I don't think you could. You'd have to bring it down like an octave at least. Like there's some pretty high notes in that I just don't think are physically possible if it's the first time you've picked up a trumpet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's definitely some control you got to build up to. That's like
muscle development.
It's similar to being like, oh, well, you know, even if let's say you're a strong guy and you go into a gym and they're like, all right, well, you got to hit like, you got to bench 400 pounds. It's like, even if you're a strong guy or gal,
how are you going to start?
Yeah. You have to work your way up to something like that. Right.
I get that. Every time I try to play in those things, that air, this like this pain behind my ear from holding the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do enjoy donking around with a good trumpet. there was like a band trumpet at Hot Rod Otis.
Oh. Okay.
And I really wanted to learn some song that we would play, and I took that for like a month, and oh God, that freaking. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
In your jaw, there's little muscles that hang out in there that you don't really use until you play a woodwind or brass instrument, and suddenly your mouth is like your jaw and your cheeks are sore.
Yeah,
because you're like exercising these muscles in there. It's crazy.
Good times.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I? Speaking of weight training, one time I set foot in a gym.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not a gym
this
rat.
Is once.
I mean, I've been
okay.
I've been around gyms.
Sure.
This is seventh grade, and you know, it was around the time when all it was like the hip thing to do in my circle of friends to go over to the YMCA after school, after middle school, and go and lift weights. I like to go and play basketball. You know, so we would play basketball.
Totally.
They would go over and lift weights and stuff like that. And they kept trying to get me to do it. I'm just like, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
So finally, I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I'm still not a large person, but in seventh grade, I was a very small person.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, here, just lift the bar without the weights on it. And I couldn't even lift that.
Oh, no.
And everyone made fun of me. And that was the last time I stepped foot in
practice. And that confirmed why you didn't want to do it in the first place.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
the bar is heavy.
45 pounds or so, I'm told.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the size of one of
Legend
the
has it.
Yeah. Well,
I felt like such a goofus, and from that point forward, I'm just like, weight training not for me.
You played saxophone, right, Jay?
I did play alto saxophone. Yeah, second chair, just like
second
just like
chair.
See,
but yours was assigned after like the first week of school or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. There might have been two, like per year. There was like one, and you did. You had to learn a song, and you did. You showed your scales and
right,
and that was it. But I never practiced ever.
Sure,
I'm sure I could have been better than I was.
That's
I played
right.
in our high school band. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
You never came? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Bust the sax out.
You know, I ended up busting the flute out for
breaking the girl.
No, that's I should though. That'd be cool.
You should.
But in the funk arc. We were writing some stuff, and I
really
had the flute, and it was like in sort of some writing sessions.
Do you still have your flute from high school?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Nice. Right.
It's from middle school, yeah.
Middle school. Wow.
Yeah. Should I play it?
She still plays?
I'd love to hear some flute.
All right, here, you guys.
Yeah.
I got to set it up, but it'll take a second.
This is great. This is awesome. This is awesome.
All right, so here it is. So
what model is it, Greg?
I got it at a music and arts center, which is
nice.
Funny because I ended up teaching there for years later, a different location.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Huh? Yeah, that was my first teaching gig was at a music and arts center in Skaggsville.
Skaggsville. 216.
Gagging right. it up in Skaggsville.
Yeah, yeah. 216 and 32. Is that
sounds right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oy. This is from Emerson. Emerson.
Emerson. Emerson. Okay. It's going to be either an Emerson or Gemeinhardt.
Yeah, but like right. I got my.
Let's hear this. Guy.
Let's see. Let's see if I can do a B flat major scale. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah, I like to make cool, like, you know, sounds like that. Like,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. You add more air and
very atmospheric.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. I do love the sound of like a low flute. Like, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. See, that's tough, right? To get those low notes out, right?
Yeah, I suppose it's a little bit. Yeah, it's once you get to the outer realms of the range of the instrument, it's a little tougher.
Takes more air.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, it's like this, just different like kind of angles too for like mm-hmm. how you sort of, you know, come into the instrument, you know. But yeah, it's fun. I might start playing it more again, you know. I wish I had a sax and a trumpet just laying around. I would probably play those all the time.
I wish I had my I still had my sax.
I just would like to listen to some Jethro Tull right now.
Mm. Actually, don't you remember that, guys? We used to play
Yeah, thick as a brick.
That's true.
Yeah. I used to play that. I used to bust out the flute.
I forgot about that.
It's funny, man. I come back to the flute. Like, how formative was it? Was it like extremely formative? Slightly formative? You know, like it introduced me to like reading music and how you can organize it.
Yeah. Yeah, think about if you hadn't ever played the flute or any other instrument, and you just stepped into guitar.
Yeah,
you probably may not have gotten into reading notation at all, right?
That's part of it, but even besides the notation, just like the idea of how like this note sounds like this, and you can mm-hmm. find, you know what I mean, and you know, because yeah, guitar notation. You know, I mean, I read music, but it's not, I hate reading for guitar,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's like the worst instrument to read for. It makes no sense. Like if you, yeah. if guitar was the only instrument that existed, no one would use standard notation.
Right. Our standard notation. Yeah. We've talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but for flute, it's great. It makes perfect sense. Like nothing sure. else would make better sense than standard notation, and for piano as well. But
I feel like being in an orchestra like gives you a pretty good, like a better understanding of like how traditional music works.
How we got here.
How we got to where we are. Yeah.
How did we get here?
Like the other day, like Nick, whenever your son wanted to play clarinet with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So clarinet is like a B flat instrument or a C. It's a C instrument.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And alto sax is an E flat instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, those concepts are so foreign.
I still don't
understand. Have time to get into why those things are the way they are. But
don't we? Do we not have time for that?
I guess we do have time.
Okay, yeah. I don't
know. Because this was an enduring mystery to me. So what I'm trying to say is that when let's say a clarinet fingers a B flat,
okay,
it's actually playing a C, a concert C. Like if you played a C on a piano,
hell,
right. And when an alto sax plays an E flat, fingers an E flat on his sax, he's actually playing a concert C. And why? And that's the way that
I don't understand why.
Yeah. So
I still don't understand why.
My understanding of it, and I've asked a bunch of people about this because the whole system makes no sense to me, but it's because instruments have evolved over the years.
Okay.
And those fingerings evolved based on the physical properties of those instruments.
Yes.
Right? And it wasn't until later periods when these instruments came to be played together that they needed to standardize on a concert pitch, right? And at that point, you can't ask all these musicians to go back and relearn their fingerings for those particular instruments.
No, right? You just have to call the fingering a different note. Like, why, if you can't say to everybody, play a C, because everybody would play different notes, because if they have the fingering for a C, like, why call that fingering C if what they're playing is concert, or if if what they're playing is concert E flat, why call that E flat and not C if C is what they're playing?
I was not prepared to defend this situation at all.
As a drummer, I'm so grateful not to worry about any of this crap.
The whole thing is very bizarre to me, but that's what I've been told. Is that it's because instruments didn't all arrive on the scene at the same time, right? And they could all choose their fingerings. And the other thing I learned was that it makes it easier for woodwind instruments to transition from instrument to instrument, right? So the way you learn, like B flat is two keys down and a side note, and a side key. And it makes it easier to transition to playing other woodwind
right, instruments. So that you can switch to a different sax without having to learn a whole, without having
different
to transpose.
Sets of fingerings.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, like, because the saxes are different sizes,
mm-hmm.
When you do the fingering for an E-flat on a smaller one, it's going to generate a different pitch.
So it's easier it's easier to just play the notes that are written, which would be transposed for you, but call that note call an E-flat an E-flat because your fingering for an E-flat is going to be the same across different saxophone types.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's why.
All right.
Hey.
It makes jamming tough.
We got there.
Jamming tough.
It can make jamming tough, yes. You have to transpose.
When you're 10.
Of course. Yeah.
But it did teach me the relationship between relative minor and relative major when I was switching over to guitar really easily. So E flat on an alto sax is C, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so you had that down.
So that like ingrained memory to always know, like, what is that? Two whole steps and a half step?
Yeah, two and a half. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the same relationship between relative major and relative minor. So that's C major is the same as E flat minor. Anyway.
Well, it's not that. It's C minor is the same as E flat major.
That's what I meant to say.
There it is.
And it's only a whole step and a half step.
Whole step and a half.
Yeah, because C and A minor.
This is why Greg's here.
Right.
Here, let me just. So it's like, here's a C minor scale.
Here we go.
So that's a C minor scale. But if I started it on E flat, if I play the same notes, but I started it on E flat, which was the third note. So let me just play that first scale again. Here's C minor again. But if I start here, that gives you E flat major.
What mode were we in? What mode of E flat?
That's called the Ionian mode.
Ionian.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Jay had it.
Oh, sorry, Jay. It's
okay.
What's the C minor?
Is that Dorian?
Aeolian.
Aeolian. Dang it.
Yeah.
No, Dorian is three.
Second mode.
Yeah. Stupid.
Sorry.
We should really sit down someday, man. I want to show you some of my like teaching things for modes, because I'm like,
I'd love that.
There's no doubt you would get it. It's just horribly taught, and like it was horribly taught to me. Aside from my friends, you know, like when my friends and I would get together and talk about it, that's when we would actually figure this out.
Yeah, I would love to have some kind of practical use for modes. Yeah,
they're so they're so important. It's basically just you gotta see them organized in a certain way that makes you go, oh.
Yeah.
That's why I want it. Because if you take them, one more demo, and you can cut this if you want.
Do it.
But I'm gonna take the seven modes, and I'm gonna start with the quote unquote brightest one.
Okay.
So the brightest mode is called is of the seven modes that come out of a major scale. I'm trying to explain this to the audience as well.
You got this. So they're with us.
Okay. So let me break it down like this. Here's a C major. Okay.
There it is. All the white keys.
So those are also all white keys, but I just shifted it over one key.
Right.
So you get all these different scales.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really new scales. They're just variations of the first one. You're just starting on a different spot.
Right.
Now, if you take those, if you extract those scales and you all compare them to the first one in a sense of like, oh, well, so, like, when you compare it to like
that major of that root note, yeah,
Yeah, exactly. So then you compare and you say, okay, the third degree was flat and the sixth degree was flat.
What changed? What happened to change?
Right.
Yeah.
So when you take, when you extract all that information for all seven modes, you can then put them in an order of like the most untainted ones, you know, and then gradually add flats. So here's C Lydian. This is the brightest one. This actually has a sharp in it. So it's got a sharp four.
F sharp.
Yeah. And Lydian is like, it's even brighter than the major scale, which is. Okay. And then you can gradually go down. So I'm going to start from the top again. Lydian. Ionian, which is the major scale. Now Mixolydian with the flat seven. Dorian flat third, flat seven. Aeolian flat third, flat six, flat seven.
Oh, getting dark.
Phrygian. Phrygian with the flat second. Now
it's getting chilly in here.
But that's the idea, is that you get like,
yeah, different moods.
And yes, different moods, exactly. And then finally, Locrian.
Oh.
That was weird, isn't it?
Head bones.
But so the point is, if you're a composer, if you're a composer, these are like colors.
Gold. This is gold.
This is gold. Yeah. This is gold, you know? Anyway, it's like ways of like kind of organizing dissonance. Or moods.
What's interesting about what you did there is that you were going through all the modes starting on C. But the way they teach modes is to teach you all the modes of C.
Yes.
So,
and that is a
C,
big problem.
And then start on D, and then start on E, start on F.
Yes.
But like that doesn't, I don't know. I still don't know where and when to use those scales. We don't have to get into it now, but like,
right,
the way that you played it there, that's cool. I'd never really heard it in that context before.
I learned that from going to a master class by this guy Gary Burton, the vibraphonist. Well, it was famous jazz, and he was the dean of Berkeley for a long time. And he played with Keith Jarrett, and he got Pat Metheny started. You know, anyway, he did this masterclass. I mean, he did that, and I was like, that is such a great, now I understand why these are important.
That's cool.
You know, even because before you're just told they're important, and you're like,
how
is that? How is that? You know, like, but they're
says you, old man,
you gotta remember all the Greek words,
you know,
and you're told why they're important, but that's about it.
Yeah, the thing is, what you're talking about, Jay, is like, it helps you understand how they're constructed,
sure,
but
yeah.
Anyway, you know.
Anyway,
yeah. So that's modes and music theory. That's
theory. I want to come back to music theory in this episode, Greg, because I have a question I want to ask you. It's not really music theory, but it's just an opinion.
I had a gig this weekend.
Oh snap!
And I know you're getting all trigger, but it was with the Resilient, so don't push it.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, Jay always wants to hit the "We want Chili Willy," but we did
it.
Well,
I can do it if people don't know what I'm talking about.
That's okay. Fine,
I'm sure
go
it'll
ahead.
Come up.
All right. So, no, I played with the Resilient at an event in the Villages.
You love this place.
Oh, that retirement place?
I don't know if this, yeah. I mean,
this is
scene,
where you're going
man.
When you retire, right?
Scene, man.
This is your jam.
Oh, yeah, right. That would be amazing.
This is, I think the most recent headline I saw about this place was that there was some sort of rampant STD outbreak.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
at the Villages. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
it's a golf cart community, you know, and so if you have an upside down pineapple on your golf cart,
you're down.
That's the way you go, man. Yeah.
So we were in the Villages, and it was hot, man. Hot and humid in Florida. Brutal. Just brutal. And it's that type of like swampy, hot, humid. Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah, that's brutal. And
were you playing outside?
We were, you know. And then suddenly it's like, oh, well, you know, they're calling for rain now. So, that, you know, it's like this whole guessing game of.
Yeah.
It's like every time I go to Florida for a gig, that's what happens with either band, you know. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. why do I even bother coming here?
What other band were you talking about?
Which one is it?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
We want Chili Willy.
Sitting here edging on these sound effects.
Yeah, you're just hovering.
Meanwhile, they actually played some shows without me. I had my my good friend Suni subbed in, and he he and I caught up today. He said it was fun, but they played this massive event. Well, it was Biker Week in like Myrtle Beach.
Oh, all right.
And there's a place called Suck Bang Blow.
Whoa,
they played
at the Villages. Yeah.
No, that's not at the
Yeah,
Villages.
I know. It's Myrtle.
Yeah. It might as well be, though.
It's next to the bingo tent.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, just, you know, if you have an upside-down pineapple on your golf cart, then everybody knows what's up.
Yeah. Down for brunch.
So, yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was supposedly pretty cool. We played some other shows, and you know, can't be in two places at once. But good problem to have. I'm not too mad about it. Nice. But I did I flew out on Friday, got back on Sunday. You know, I'm not supposed to be traveling for the next couple of weeks, though.
Oh, congrats!
Kind of really. I need to let my bones relax. But how about you guys? I've been talking a lot.
Nick,
that's all right.
You also seem tired. Have you been? What have you been up to?
Particularly tired. I took the boys yesterday. We went and saw. Actually, we were having a conversation back around the holidays about concerts coming up, and Siri was pulling up. He's pulling up a lot of artists that A aren't traveling here, and B I'm not taking you to see this person.
Cool.
Kanye.
Exactly. Kanye.
Drake.
Yeah.
Really?
What about Travis Scott? Yeah, absolutely.
No, Travis Scott.
Jeez.
And this
artist.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, he'll happily debate you about any of these things.
Good.
So there's an artist that Charlie really likes that I might have brought up before that I saw was going to be doing a tour this year called, he's called NF. Have you heard of this individual, Jay?
I have not.
Okay.
Nor have I.
Really? This is...
I don't think so.
What? You know what? I have a clip. I have a clip
music.
I'd like to play for you.
Hey, yeah. Let's play some music.
So okay. this is from his latest album. I'm not going to... Actually, I won't preempt it with any... why don't you go ahead and play it? This is the lead track off the new album called Hope.
Hope. What's my definition of success? Listening to what your heart says. Standing up for what you know is right while everybody else is tucking their toe between their legs. What's my definition of success? Creating something no one else can. Being brave enough to dream big. Grinding when you're told to just quit. Giving more when you got nothing left. It's a person that'll take a chance on something they were told could never happen. It's a person that can see the bright side through the dark times when there ain't one. It's when someone who ain't never had nothing ain't afraid to walk away from more profit cause they'd rather do something that they really love and take the pay cut. It's a person that would never waver or change who they are just to try and gain some credibility so they can feel accepted by a stranger. It's a person that can take the failures in their life and turn them into motivation. It's believing in yourself when no one else does. It's amazing what a little bit of faith can do. If you don't even believe in you, why would you think or expect anybody else that's around you to? I done did things that I regret. I done said things I can't take back. Was a lost soul at a crossroad who had no hope, but I changed that. I spent years of my life holding on to things I never should have kept, full of hatred. Years of my life carrying a lot of baggage that I should have walked away from.
Right. Gentlemen, this is positive Eminem.
I was going to say...
It's what it is.
I don't know. I have no grounds for... this is probably totally wrong, but it sounds like Eminem doing an impression of Kendrick.
A little bit.
He's
like
on his like
flow, but in
fourth
Eminem's
or fifth album
sound.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like he's on his like fourth or fifth album. he talks a lot about how nobody takes him seriously and clearly the rappers that he idolizes, but he brings it back to like a positive message.
Okay.
He doesn't really like, he's not preachy about it. So took the boys last night to see NF play at the Baltimore Arena.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was it, man?
Oh, it was phenomenal. It really was.
First, most importantly, how was the parking?
Jay, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
We got home, Jay, before Alex and I left the parking garage of the Tool concert. Like, Alex and I were in the parking garage of the Tool concert until 12:30 in the morning, when the concert ended at like 10:45. And I had the boys home last night by midnight, so that was delightful.
All right.
So thank you very much for that. Yeah,
quite
for
welcome.
That parking garage recommendation.
Unlike George Costanza, you know.
Yes.
Find the good parking garages or the good restrooms, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm not going to talk too much about it though, because we're going to have Charlie on next week.
Oh snap!
He's in his ninth year. All the boys have gotten to be on the show to talk about something when they're nine, and he turns 10. 2 weeks from yesterday. So I was like, dude, we're running out of time. Do you want to come on and talk about NF? And he's like, yeah.
Love it. Yep. Love it.
So he'll be joining us next week.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So there will be a 251.
If you guys are up for it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
We never got nothing else to do.
We never played our intro.
We didn't?
Who is this?
No.
I thought we were just going to do the show just talking and then...
Oh. That's
that was 250, guys.
Let's leave it.
Yeah. Play.
No? Leave it? Or leave it or play it?
Nah, I don't play it.
No, yeah.
Yeah, don't play it. All right.
Not this point.
Not this week. Yeah, this is a special week.
Yeah.
We're flipping the script.
That's right.
Hey, man. What's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Huh? Huh? What's the good word? What's going on, guys?
Well, so here, I'll tell you. Nick, do you have more to say about the concert?
I'll save it. I'll save it for next week. We can talk to Charlie about it, get his thoughts. How about that?
Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds good. Because I do want to hear about like the spectacle of it, the lights and the cameras. And
I'll say this. It was him and a drummer. And that was
really?
Cool. Yep, just him and a drummer. And that drummer was phenomenal. And he was like triggering a lot of the samples that were happening, which was sick.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
A friend of mine had a gig like that with a rapper named Azalea Banks.
Okay.
Who was pretty famous, but also kind of went a little psycho.
Okay.
With some, yeah. But he got the gig and he got to go do some cool stuff with her.
Nice.
It was a really neat experience. The other thing I wanted to share with you guys, as you were talking, especially about that previous thing you were talking about, Greg, the theory stuff, is Siri for the first time. He's really into this song by this guy, Trippy Red, called Lorray. And it's just this guy kind of like, he's kind of like talking / rapping, and then he kind of sings a little bit under acoustic guitar. And Siri just looks up and he goes, "How hard would that be to learn this?" And I was like, I mean, I don't want to get too excited, but I know a guy.
It's also, I mean, it really just depends, you know.
I was like, I don't know his rates, but I know a guy, so, you know. It's
just, a minute to learn, a lifetime to master, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
So that was also, that was a great moment from the past week.
Oh, good.
Hell
well,
yeah.
You know, seems like they're all musically inclined, and, you know, there's no reason not to even just pick up a flute, you know?
Yeah.
You never know what could happen.
It's there. <That's right. laughs> J-Rome, how are you doing, man?
One day you're learning scales, the next day you're shredding on stage with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
I'm doing quite well. It's the simple things in life, gentlemen.
Yeah?
Is it?
This past weekend, I found myself with a little bit of time on my hands, and I wanted to watch this one particular movie that I have on DVD. Not a documentary.
Really?
It's a concert film.
Ah, okay.
And I don't know if this same thing has happened to you guys or not, but I don't have like a DVD player set up anywhere in my house anymore.
Somewhere in this place I've got one, but yeah.
I have a DVD like player that you can connect via USB to my computer, but that thing never works. It's always like skipping. You got to deal with VLCs, like terrible like media interface. It's a bad experience. So, like, I haven't watched the DVD in, like, years, it feels like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I remembered, Nick, whenever you and I were getting together to watch Twin Peaks, I had bought that little portable Blu-ray player.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? Let's go ahead and hook this thing up. So I set it up downstairs in my little office, and I watched this movie, and it was just, it was the greatest experience because I wasn't dealing with menus. Like, it was just like, pop the disc in, it played, it sounded great, it looked great, and I just kind of forgot, like, what not watching movies on your computer, how much better it is than watching just regular movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had a similar experience to that or not.
I haven't popped a Blu-ray or DVD into a player in some time. I should try that.
It's nice.
Yeah, I have a player, but I can't find the remote for it. I think I ordered one off of Amazon, but it didn't work.
And there's no buttons on it, on the actual player, right?
There's to not, make it work. There's not, like, you need, I don't think that you need to get in there somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, because, so anyway,
That was a fun experience. And the movie that I was watching was Baby Snakes, the Zappa concert movie, which I have not watched in a long time. And the reason that I was watching Baby Snakes is because I'm getting all excited for next weekend.
Yeah.
It's, my son Ben's piano teacher, Ian, is in a Zappa tribute band, and they're playing another concert, and that's next Saturday. And, you know, it's at the 8x10 in Baltimore.
Nice.
So that's this Saturday, the 24th, 26th. The 26th, 9 p.m. at the 8x10. Come out and see it. It's a great show. These guys are incredible. And Ian has been telling me some of the songs they're going to play. And I was asking him about this one song, Andy, that's on one of our favorite Zappa albums, Overnight Sensation. And I was like, how's Andy coming along? He's like, well, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Ed, that song was pretty tough. I'm like, yeah. he's like, yeah, and you know, I'm in the middle of final season right now.
Oh man.
To be 21 again, right? Yeah, I'll just take on learning some Zappa tunes in the middle of my finals week, right? Yeah. While I'm teaching my 6-year-old son.
His day job,
hats off to Ian. But he's like, yeah, so we passed on Andy, but I tell you the other song that we're working up, he's like, do you know Punky's Whips? And I was like, I do.
I think Terry Bozzio featured on that one more frequently.
He did. And he's like, that's a tough one, but we got it. I'm like, you're kidding me. You learned Punky's Whips. So I wanted to play a little bit of Punky's Whips because I went back and watched the Baby Snakes concert, and I hadn't seen that in a while. I was just like, God damn, that band was tight as hell.
So good.
Check this out.
Let's hear it.
The sight of which drove the helpless young drummer mad with desire.
I can't stand the way he pouts. Cause he might not be pouting for me.
Punky Meadows pouting for you? You mean, bet, sailor.
You mean he's not pouting for me? His hair's so shiny and his gun real nice. Till I squirm with ecstasy.
Looking forward to that.
Ah, Terry Bozzio. Delightful.
Crazy.
Punky.
So good.
Well, hey, speaking of shows, can I tell you guys about a show that I saw last week?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is a quick little Tales from the Concert.
Oh, snap.
Okay. Hey,
Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't
know. This is beginning to feel structured, Greg.
Yeah.
Keep it loose.
Yeah, right. Take it easy. No, but I went to see Idols in LA.
Oh, snap. That's right.
Really?
Week. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
where?
The Hollywood Palladium.
Nice.
Yeah, which is a very awesome room. The only other time I've been there was to see Meshuggah. But I do know that like Nine Inch Nails did a bunch of dates there somewhat recently. I mean, it's probably like a 2,000 capacity. Really fun room. Sounds great. Right in the heart of everything. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I saw that Idols was coming and decided, yeah, you know, we're going to go. Actually, it holds up to 4,000. So, Kaz and I went down there. It was Tuesday night. It was the second of two shows. Both of them were sold out. And they had a band called Proto Martyr that opened up for them. And at first, we came in about 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. And I could see like the Idols kind of banner up, and they sort of sounded like Idols. I think we might have missed the intro because I'm pretty sure they're on stage right now. But then I looked closer. I was like, oh no, this is a different band. These guys are from Detroit, and Idols is from Brixton,
right?
And I gotta say, man, you know, honestly, I kind of wish we talked like the day after, because it was all pretty fresh.
It was fresh then, yeah.
Whatever
the hell that community is in Florida happened to you.
Then the villages.
Yeah, the villages. Yeah,
the villages knocked it out of me. Yeah. It was really, really badass. They are something, you know. For me, like a different experience of a live show than the bands I've been kind of seeing as of late.
Okay.
And I can't put my finger on what it is exactly, but they just have a very special thing that they can do, and they really kind of get the crowd in. I mean, you know, there's a whole different energy in the sort of mosh pit. You know, it's almost like a metal attitude of like, I'm going to command this crowd, but it's not metal music.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
He literally was like, it's like after the first song, split the crowd in half. You know? And the guitar player is, you know, crowd surfing by the second song.
No. Wow.
Nice. Yeah. It was pretty wild. They have their recorded sound. I mean, you know, you've listened to them before.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear. They actually have a live album from 2019.
Oh,
which is they played this song called "Mother" at the show I was at, and I found this good live version, which kind of gives you an idea of how it sounded. Check this out.
I am a feminist.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It was definitely rad. And that's kind of like the earlier
idols nowadays, now they're working with you know, Nigel Godrich, and you know, if you listen to their newest album, it's, you know, we've talked about it on the pod, but
yeah,
there's definitely some newer elements that, you know, are very like kind of post-punk or whatever you want to call it, but this is fantastic. I came away from that show being like, that was sick. You know, I'd love to see them again. And
nice.
If you get a chance, cool, go check out Idols.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's all I got for that one.
Can I bring up my theory question to you, Greg?
Yes, of course. I hope I can help.
So, bluegrass, right?
Uh-huh.
I would say that bluegrass music has a swing to it. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
So, I would say that yes, but it's not maybe the traditional type of swing where it's like triplets grouped into two and one. Like, for instance, like the way people, you know, if you go to like a music software and you type in notes and then you say swing, you select swing, it's going to go from like to like.
Sure.
One, two.
Right.
So bluegrass doesn't have that swing.
Okay.
Or does it?
I don't know how to
quantify.
It kind of
has like a two-step thing, right? Like a boop-a-tap-a-doop-a-tap.
The way I think of it, like if you're playing 16th notes in bluegrass, you're not saying, you're not, straight would be da 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 da.
Yeah.
Swung would be da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da.
Almost yeah,
like accents.
Is it more accents than swing?
I think so. That's how it feels to play it on the drums. It doesn't feel like there's an inherent change to the rhythm. It just feels like the accents are.
Oh, this is fascinating.
Yeah, but even if you have the accents, it's still like da 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 da. You can still have the accents. And
there's definitely a difference, right? So can you guys hear this?
Yeah, yeah.
So I could play. That's straight, right?
That's swing.
Yeah, you're swinging that.
Right. So that's what I would call swing, right? It's kind of
okay,
like
yeah,
a bluesy.
It's like
swing.
A micro swing, though. Because okay.
Is it a micro swing or is it swung? So the reason why I'm asking is because, like, as I'm building up speed in bluegrass, it's becoming harder and harder for me to maintain that swing.
I hear that.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like if
yeah.
I'm playing something at a slow tempo, it's really easy for me to keep that da 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 da. But if you get that up to speed, I don't know how you maintain that swing. And the reason I'm asking you, is it just I need to keep practicing, or should I at some point try to like abandon that swing and just go for more of an accent? I don't know.
Well, I think that it will eventually become too fast.
Yeah.
And playing it straight is kind of like when it's like really like, you're going to lose some of that swing gradually.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But I would say that it actually is kind of more of that 2-to-1, but it's not, you know, like I never hear bluegrass like ding 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 ding, 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 ding like
yeah,
I mean
yeah, not
I
like shuffle, it, yeah.
But no, there's definitely there is a swing that's maybe it's exactly 2-to-1. It's probably not exactly, you know, but somewhere in there that's like the correct.
Yeah.
Whatever the right seasoning is, you know, for
yeah,
for bluegrass, because all good music has swing in a certain way. You know what I mean? It literally swings.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right, you know, but it's not the same as like bebop swing. You know, it's a nice acoustic, man. What you got there?
This is a 1963 Gibson J45 that was given to me by my aunt Patty.
Ah,
and it is the sweetest sounding guitar. It's so easy to play. And I was never a big fan of Gibson guitars before I played this one. Can I play? Can I play? some bluegrass stuff for you guys?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Totally.
Okay, I'll play that little. Okay, so this is an old fiddle song called Blackberry Blossom, and this is a like the famous version of it is done by Tony Rice, of course, and he literally plays it at 140 BPM.
Jesus,
I'm not there yet. I've been working on this for a couple months now, and I'm at like I've hit it at 100, and this is bluegrass. This is a double time, so it's like 200 BPM. Mm-hmm. I think I could do it at 95. I'm not really warmed up, but we'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot.
We can cut it.
I've never been more nervous in my life. All right.
Really?
Do you want me to play it with the backing track? I can play it with the backing track.
Whatever you want, man.
That works. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever's more comfortable for you.
Yeah, dude.
Remember, this is for second chair.
That's right. It's all on the line here. All right, here we go, guys.
1, 2, 3.
Tough, man.
I'm sorry, I screwed that up badly.
Ah, buddy, that was great.
It's good to hear you working on that stuff.
Yeah, dude, it is. It's really cool to hear you working on it.
Oh, thanks.
I would say, man, you know, just try to keep the feel right. You know when it feels good and when it doesn't.
Dance it. Yeah,
I do. I was so nervous.
You know,
I was so nervous. Let me play Tony playing that, and tell me if you hear any swing. Tell me what your thoughts are, because Tony does it right. Check this out.
The strum is.
That point, is it just so fast that it doesn't matter?
I don't know.
It's it not, felt like. I don't know. What do you think, Greg?
It's straight to me.
Yeah, felt straight.
But
you know what?
Big release.
It's not. You know, if you try to, you can't ever sound like you're trying to swing.
I had a
jazz lesson. I had a lesson with Jonathan Kreisberg, who was. He was like, he basically. We played it to him, and he was like, "This is what you sound like." Da 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 da. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. "Oh, okay." And he's like, "So it's like it's very subtle, even in jazz where you have to like really, you know, where there is kind of a shuffling thing happening." He always uses that cold shot as an example.
Yeah, it's like my natural inclination to swing things because you know, blues and jazz and all that stuff. Like I like. The sound of swung guitar, so that's kind of how I approach it, putting that in. But you get to a certain speed, and it just doesn't work anymore. Anyway,
no, it doesn't. Yeah, you can't kind of like constantly make those subdivisions work.
Do you want to know what Google's new AI search results had to say when I asked it, "Does bluegrass swing?"
Not really.
It might be helpful.
Okay.
It says for traditional bluegrass, always swing the eighth notes until it gets too fast to do that.
Oh yeah. Oh. Are you serious?
There you
go.
Yes. All right. That makes me feel much better. Because I thought I was just like an excuse. Like some old jazz kid would be like, you always got to swing. You
know? No, I mean, like Latin music doesn't swing. You know, they would tell us that back in jazz band. They'd be like, when we're playing these Latin pieces, don't swing. You know, like that's when you played straight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I think with bluegrass in particular, it gets fast. Yeah, it's hard to
maintain that kind of feel. But yeah, it sounds to me like there's some, and don't mind me saying this, the right hand might be where you're getting some issues more than the left. Is that true?
To a certain extent, yeah. There's been a lot of learning on alternate picking that's still in progress. I feel like I've played that a million times better. That was terrible. Like, I feel like I'm better than what I represented there. Not much better, but
ladies and gentlemen, it's 11 o'clock p.m.
I can play it the whole way through without screwing up at that speed. I've done it. I know how to do it. I just was really nervous and screwed that up. But you're right. Like, it's been a big thing for me to get alternate picking versus legato. Like, in blues or rock, a lot of times when you're going fast, you're playing a lot of legato licks. Mm-hmm. You just don't do that in bluegrass, really.
You have to pick every note.
You got to pick every note, more or less. There's a couple of hammer-ons, a couple slides and stuff like that for effect, but the whole trick is that every note is picked.
Right, and that's hard to do across different strings. Across different directions. Strings.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So there's like techniques to help you do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is what, like, practicing metal helped me, you know, in my younger days.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of similar stuff.
All those arpeggios and stuff,
all arpeggios, but even, like, just riffs.
Yeah.
Where you're just chugga, 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 chugga. There's a lot of constant picking and palm muting.
Yep.
Which you do a lot in bluegrass as well.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, man, listen, I mean, you know, practice makes perfect, buddy. You know?
I know. I'm at it every night, man.
Yeah. Slow is good, too, you know?
Oh, I know. Practice I was trying to show off and I screwed up.
I hear you. No, I didn't mean that.
You're great.
Well, boys, this has been 250.
Yeah.
250.
250.
Unstructured, just a chat.
just a chat. I love it. I had all this stuff planned if we didn't have anything to talk about. I was going to talk about all the different bits that we've done over the years,
mm-hmm.
all the different intros that we've come up with. But
yeah, save that for 500.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've got something in the can for 500.
Yeah, 500.
We haven't asked Suno for an outro, closing song. I know we're going unstructured, but if there's anything you guys would like to hear.
Whatever it is, I want it swung.
Yeah.
I'm going to go death metal.
Okay.
Not swung.
Fair enough.
Here we go. Take it away, Suno. You can find us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, or Session Check. You can hear us online, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever podcasts are heard. Leave a review and as always, tell a friend you should check it out. You can find us online at YouTubeChannel.com. Wow. Okay.
Goodness.
Nice.
Holy smokes.
Clear as day.
This guy's practiced a lot.
Yeah, they did.
They did. Yep. Let's see Tony Rice play that.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on, Tony.
Come on, Tony.
All right, boys. Well, it's been a pleasure getting here to 250 with
y'all. It sure has.
And thanks for listening. Here's to another 250. What do you guys say?
All right.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Woo-hoo. Peace out. See y'all next time.
See you.
Peace.